It's the new year, and many of us have made resolutions, many to be broken. But Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, he begins the year with a look at the obituaries.
On January 2nd, I picked up the paper and realized that I went immediately to the obituaries. Wouldn't it have been more seasonally appropriate for me to go to birth announcements, being that we've just welcomed in the new year? New Year celebrates what's just arrived, not what's dead and gone. Going immediately to the death notices embarrassed me. Reading obituaries, I'm now in my late 70s, is a fairly recent habit of mine, and I know for a fact that many of my contemporaries started years earlier than I did. Perhaps I was more skittish about death and felt safer not being reminded of it. I once thought those who read obituaries were morbid. I see it differently now. By reading the obituaries, I'm learning what's happening to folks in my neighborhood, and perhaps at a deeper level, having an appreciative awareness that, at least for the moment, I'm alive. In any case, now that I do read the obituaries, I've grown curious about them. Who exactly writes them? The family? Had the deceased? What might they be saying not only about the deceased, but about the living as well? Their authorship is hard to know, although I can say I have never read an obituary written in the first person. Obituaries are a statement first and foremost of personal loss and the need to have others share in it. There's genuine healing in knowing that I am not suffering this loss all alone and that others will know about it and care for me during the long months and perhaps years of healing. It needs to be said, too, that death has only recently come out of the closet. Rarely openly discussed in the past, like cancer or sex, books on death and dying are as common today as those on dieting. Yet with more openness regarding dying, there is still the discomfort when addressing the subject directly, not only if it's someone else's death under discussion, but particularly when it's our own. My guess is that it's inconceivable to most of us to think that one day we will cease to be. It's a thought that takes some getting used to. I've noticed in a significant number of obituaries that the accompanying picture of the deceased, who may have been in their late 60s or well above 90 when they died, is that of a much younger man or woman. I've wondered if it's because how we look can upset us as much as the thought of our demise. Or, to say it differently, being remembered as looking old might be more distressing than the thought of being dead. We like looking good. I've noticed people frequently greet one another with the salutation, "You look great." The reverse is rare. Today we live much longer. In 1919, it was roughly age 45. Today it's 79 and climbing. Longevity can raise Cain with our looks. I think that's also something that's going to take us time to get used to. George Merrill, On the Shore.